Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Final hour of the show, we got the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick coming up at the end of this hour. We've also got the Bequeathal, the final listen of the Hack Song, and so much more to get to. But we are in the bye week, Stan. Although we've got a great game this weekend, ACC title game, Wake versus Pitt.
Can you not?
Over at Bank of America Stadium. That's tomorrow, but Panthers on the bye. And it came at the perfect time, because they've lost 7 of 9, to go ahead and get the perspective on that and so much more. You've seen him recently here on Fox 46. You know him from his time playing over at Bank of America Stadium, his time playing up yonder in Chapel Hill at North Carolina. He is Trey Boston. He joins us right now. Trey, great to have you back, buddy. Welcome back.
What's up, guys?
What's up, NFL?
What's up, Stan?
Well, it's always great to talk with you, man. And you are the most positive man that I know. You've always got a great energy about you. You're always, you know, always looking on the bright side here. So When I saw you live tweeting the Panthers' last loss to Miami, there was some frustration from you. For you, looking at the Panthers' last 9 games, what is behind the Panthers losing 7 of 9?
I believe it's the identity crisis. Right now, we just don't know who we want to be. We don't know whether we're, you know, the 3-0 starting Panthers or we're the 4 straight lost Panthers. We don't know if we want to run the ball, pass the ball. We were a great defensive team. We don't know if we want to play good defense anymore. For me, it's all about getting back to the roots, getting back to what what you're successful at. And one thing we know in the NFL, you have to run the ball to be successful. And then, you know, the run sets up your play action for your quarterbacks let's say you're not so comfortable throwing the ball as much as they need to throw the ball, as well as on defense, getting after the quarterback, allowing Hassan and Burns to do what they do best. Front 7 stopping the run. You know, when we stop the run, the games that we've won, I believe the stat was less than 60 yards. A team was carrying the ball on us, but during wins, it was averaging over 125 in losses. So, for me, defense has to stop the run, you know. And so, offense, run the ball. Defense, stop the run. And it can be really that simple and win the turnover battle. But nothing in the NFL is simple.
Trey, Nick and I think, saw the same thing. Curious what you saw. That third quarter, and most of that second half, in my mind, them boys was already on vacation, bro. You know how this goes. So I'm hearing you laugh. So, like, one, did you see it that way? And then hearing the news during the bye week, first McCaffrey, now Dante on IR, the mindset you anticipated the fellas coming back. Both of those, please.
Yeah, man, that third quarter, definitely second half, man, it was sad to see. You know, it was only maybe a 14-point game or, you know, a little bit more, but it just felt like we were just getting beat by 35. Like, it was just like, we've talked about energy, how the team just needs energy, it needs leadership, and it just wasn't elaborating through the TV. You can see that we were lacking something, and we feel like that's what we were lacking. You know, you see Brian Burns come over there, get fired up, and I commend him for that. You know, I know D-Jack got fired up on the guys, but I know when you're a team, you look for veterans, your older guys. It's, you know, Brian Burns is a guy who can talk. He deserves it. He can lead by example. D-Jack, same way, but that's year 3 and year 4 talking to you. You know, where are your guys who are year 10, year 12, year 9, guys who have been through this fire? Well, truthfully, there aren't any on the team. So it's just one of those things where, I hate to see it, but you don't have many guys who have been through the fire to know that, hey, you can come back in this game. Hey, let's get a couple turnovers, and this can change the momentum of the game. You got guys who've been in the league a couple years and feel like when we're down and out, it's already a loss. And so it's tough. Going into the bye week now, you're losing your offense. I mean, we said without McCaffrey, we've lost every game. So, for me, I'm hoping the guys come back. You know, maybe Rule gets, you know, gets back to running the ball. You know, him and Joe Brady got to find a way to just run the ball. Because, again, if we do not run the ball, there's no way Cam or P.J. Walker can pass the ball 30, 40 times and get a W. It is what it is. Know yourself. And that's the biggest thing. Like, don't try to recreate the wheel. Know who you got. Be successful in what you got and stick to it. And defense, you know, again, they got to find their identity as well. Stop the run. They got to be, you know, their brand, the toughest, most physical, hardest working team, most competitive team in the league. You know, we'll do it. You know, you can't just talk about it. So for me, coming off this bye week, they got to be ready to play because it's not looking good. But you got to build momentum that hopefully transfers to next year. And maybe that just transfers to keeping jobs.
Trey Boston, long time Carolina Panther, also North Carolina Tar Heel. There's plenty to talk about with you, Trey, on either one of those topics. But I'm curious here, because you played for the man. How much of this is on Matt Rhule?
Oh, man. I mean, he's the head coach. So don't you say all of it's on the head coach? I mean, that's, you know, one thing that I can say is Matt Rhule has told us over and over that he will not change. He will stick to his guns and continue to coach the way he's been coaching. But the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results without changing. So it's one of those things where you have to hope that he is going to find a way to change and tweak a few things, because again, this is the NFL. You have to. He said in the press conference, they outplayed us, they outcoached us, but we felt like we were still ready. Like, you're not ready if you're outcoached and outplayed. So some way, somehow, you got to figure out how to win ball games being at least the better coaches. Like, look at Bill Belichick. Like, he doesn't have the best squad, but we're watching this man win ball games with Mac Jones over and over. Kyle Shanahan always has problems with his quarterbacks, but he finds ways to get the balls in people's hands, set up his players to win ball games, and that's what we have to find ways to do. Get the ball in playmakers' hands and let them be playmakers.
Trey, I'll follow up with this then. Do you think Matt Rhule has 100% buy-in right now in that locker room?
I mean, you want the truth or you want to lie?
Come on, man. You're talking to us. You know what time it is.
You know what I mean? I believe no. I believe there's guys in there. I mean, obviously, I was there. I mean, there's guys in there who knows how he wants to run the program. And I say program and not organization because I believe that, you know, coming to the NFL, he stuck to what he knew, and that's college, you know? And that's why you see a lot of young guys in there. That's why you see a lack of veteran leadership because, you know, you have a coach who in college, that's what they do. You know, they want the leadership. They want that all on them. And, you know, so for me, I don't believe there's 100% buy-in, you know, and that's from being there. And that's from talking this year to over 20 players who still, you know, they you know, Matt Rhule's a great guy, great guy. Good coach. But again, I don't think he's a guy who guys are really going to fight for. Guys feel like, man, I love coach. Let's win this game for coach. You know, but I think there's a lack of respect for both ends as well. I think when you respect your players, when you love on your players, when you tell your players, you know, what they need to hear, and when, you know, and coach them tough, it falls back on the respect for each other. So 100% buy-in, 100? nah. It's hard for a lot of coaches to have 100%. So, no, I don't think there's 100% buy-in, especially now with the identity crisis.
You mentioned running the football earlier, but I'm more asking about the overall impact of, is there anything that Matt can do these last five games to provide some momentum and to stabilize this thing and give us some positive vibes going into next season? Or are there just tough decisions coming that this process might be delayed a little longer than we thought?
I mean, when Matt came in, he told us, truthfully, as players, like, this is a three-year plan, you know. I don't expect things to come fast, you know. We expect to get this program turned around in 3 years. And then once we started winning a little bit, it was like, oh, hold up, put on the gas. Let's go try to win. And you saw that this year, you know. I got asked the question, was last year's team better than this year's, or this year's team better than last? And I'm like, well, you know, they're both 5-win teams, you know. So, I mean, and then you look at the caliber of wins. We this year you beat a Jets rookie quarterback with Wilson. You beat Houston with a fourth round David Mills. You beat the Saints who had 9 players out, 6 coaches. I don't see the Cardinals without the QB1 and D-Hop. It's just like the caliber of wins this year, I think, really tricked us to feel like this team was better than what they were. And that's why I believe the identity crisis is bigger than what we think it is, because what is our most caliber win this season?
New Orleans?
We don't really have one.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like, again, 9 players out, 6 coaches. They had 4 coaches on the sideline. 9 players out, and we're like, oh, New Orleans, oh. You know what I mean? So it's just like, for me, I feel like we have to find a way to win ball games. Like, I can keep talking about the run game, stopping the run. Like, yeah, that's what you have to do. But if you want to keep jobs, you want to make the fans happy, you want to build momentum into next season, like, we don't have to fire coaches, win ball games, which, good luck with that. I mean, the schedule doesn't say we're just, you know, winning them all. But I think if you can win, I feel like Atlanta is a must win. We're coming back into the bank off of a bye week. Everybody's feeling like, you know, seats are hot. Come in there, get a dub. We can cool it off a little bit. Got Buffalo after that. Hey, it is what it is. You got Saints after that. Go ahead and get another dub. If we can win 2 out of these next, you know, 5, play competitive. It gives everybody a chance to say, okay, they got this stuff together, we're feeling good, and we can feel momentum going into next year. Hey, we'll get a high draft pick, we'll draft on the O-line, maybe get a quarterback. Hey, let's go get the quarterback out of Pitt, you know. So for me, that's what I believe you have to do to finish off the season.
Follow this man on the Twitter machine at TreyBoss10. TreyBoss10. He is a great Panther and great North Carolina Tar Heel, Trey Boston. Trey, we appreciate you keeping it 100. We appreciate always your time, buddy. Great stuff, man.
Nah, appreciate y'all, man. Y'all have a good day.
All right, Trey, thank man. So good much. Weekend to you, bro.
Trey Boston there. Good family man. Love to see what he's doing at Fox 46 as well. There's a lot of honesty that he shared in there. But, and I think it was Chad Harris said this on the text line. Every time he said the word program, I don't know, I think I caught it out of you. He's talking about Matt Rhule's program. That's a college word. And I cringe too. Chad Harris said it on the text line. I cringe because I know what he means.
It didn't bother me. And we've had this conversations even in Rhule's first year. What bothered me the most and what stood out to most with me with Trey is that Matt Rhule, according to what Trey just said, came into the locker room and told the players in there, guys, it's going to take us 3 years? You don't say that in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
That is preposterous. That is an egregious error of the highest order. And it's coming from a rookie head coach at the time. That's crazy to me.
Great stuff with Trey Boston there. I'm sure.
It's going to take us 3 years. What?
Because this happened on a Friday at 1 p.m., you're going to hear some of that on Monday as we bring that back to talk about it. So great stuff with Trey there. But while the Panthers are off this week, the ACC is not. Getting back into Ticket for Picket. Kenny's got a ticket to ride at Bank of America Stadium all the way to an ACC title game this weekend. That's next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We've got the final rendition of the Hack Song, if you can bear it. In 20 minutes, Hacksaw will be joining us as well. And after that, we'll get to the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick. And maybe most importantly, we'll get to the Jim Solania Gold Brick of the Week Award. You can vote right now through 145, Crying, College, Energy Cycle, Pick It. And we will bequeath the award at about 1:45 at the end of the show. But it is a ticket for Pickett and Pitt to get the ACC title going this weekend. I can't
believe we're doing this again.
Why? It's the biggest game in Charlotte this weekend.
It's the only game in Charlotte this weekend.
That's not what I said. I said it's the biggest game in Charlotte this weekend.
Yeah, because the Hornets are on the road. UNCC's done.
We don't need the context
Johnson
to
C.
it.
Smith isn't playing.
We just need to accept that Pitt versus Wake is the best and most important game in Charlotte this week.
Okay. Open up the phone lines. I demand to know the amount of care Charlottians have about this game. You know what? Because that's going to come off crazy. I really do hope the Charlotte Sports Foundation, I do hope people, it is going to be a lot of points. It is going to be something to do. It's supposed to be really nice this weekend. Go enjoy the game. That's not what I mean. But I am curious to know how many of the people are going.
What to you is the most important thing about a conference title game?
A conference title game? Any conference.
No, I'm talking about a Power 5 conference title game.
What's the most important?
What is the most important thing to you?
The quality of competition.
Okay. Because for me, it's the quality of the game itself. Like, I look at Michigan. Michigan should beat that Iowa team. That Iowa team has cooled off a little bit. They're not who they were. That defense is not who they were 7 weeks ago. Michigan should smoke Iowa. But I know that Jim Harbaugh, outside of the Ohio State win, has struggled in these kind of moments. And whenever Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines have had a big win, they've usually followed it up with a big clunker. So I think that's going to be a great game. Georgia versus Alabama. Braden Gall, earlier on this station of ESPN Radio, said, I don't think that's going to be a very competitive game. I think Georgia's going to get a comfortable win.
I think that's insane.
I agree. I think that's going to be a great win. Now, that has national implications. Baylor versus Oklahoma State.
I think that's an excellent game.
So even Utah, Oregon, no national implications. So what's weird to me is Oregon not going to be in the playoff. They're not going to be in the playoff. Utah. Not going to be a playoff in the playoffs. I don't see a difference between Oregon versus Utah and Wake versus Pitt. But yeah, when we've talked about it, you sound more excited about Oregon Utah tonight in the Pac-12 title game than you do the ACC title game, which is right down the road.
I think both Oregon and Utah are better teams than both Pitt and Wake Forest.
I think this is where your college football supremacy comes in, because I think they're better programs. But that doesn't mean
Oregon
they're better teams.
Oregon went on the road to Ohio State and beat them. They have the likely number one overall pick.
Both teams have two losses, team also lost to Stanford. And by the way, we've already seen this game already this year. We haven't seen Wake versus Pitt this year.
Oregon and Utah, in my mind, are better teams than both Pitt and Wake.
So are App State and Louisiana better than Wake Forest and Pitt?
No.
Houston and Cincinnati. Both teams better or worse?
Cincinnati's better. Not sure about Houston.
So we'll throw this out to you guys. 704-570-9610. Are you watching Pitt and Wake this weekend?
Yes.
So I'm into it.
I'm watching.
I'm into it mostly because you said it's about the quality of the opponents. One, I think a lot of people are, if you think Pitt and Wake, because Pitt and Wake are not traditional powerhouses, if you think that they're not quality football teams, I think you're wrong. So not only do I think they're both quality football teams, I also think it's going to be a great game. And so I look at that game. I think that might end up being the best game this weekend in terms of competitiveness. But outside, like, I don't think there's going to be a bad game of either the Power Five this weekend. The game that I'm most worried about is actually Oregon versus Utah. And the reason why I say that is I think Utah could put the boots to Oregon again. I don't know it's going to look exactly the way it did just a couple weeks back, but I think Utah is a better team than Oregon, despite having one more loss. And I think that Utah plays a style of brand that Oregon can't mess with. It's a good pause.
Utah plays excellent defense. They've got a first rounder in the secondary. He's going to be a good player. I like Oregon because I think Mario Cristobal has a better program, and I think he's got, like, he can prepare, right? He has an opportunity to get his team ready to go, and quite frankly, they have, even though that Stanford loss is atrocious, they're a better program.
There's a part of me. Earlier in the show, I said I am. If you're a college football supremacist or size queen, one of those two,
definitely quit using that word.
You prefer girthy programs. I don't understand the problem here.
Girthy programs.
But if you're a college football supremacist, I am a college football anarchist. And what I see this weekend is a real chance for. I think the most exciting thing this season, if it's not going to be Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, even though Michigan is a great program, I don't want to try and, you know, but if it's not going to be the four teams we're used to seeing, then I'm all about the insanity of teams that could win or could lose and be in the playoffs. Like Baylor versus Oklahoma State, that game's going to be must watch. All right. And I think Cincinnati has a real chance of losing to Houston. I think Cincinnati fans should be a little shook with this game. I still think Cincinnati will win. But I guess my thing is, I want to see a bunch of close games where by the time we get to Michigan, Iowa at 8 p.m. Saturday night, I want people to be like, all right, if Michigan loses, here's the next domino to fall because that impacts Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that impacts Oklahoma State.
I'm in the interesting business, being a member of a sports media here in Charlotte. So it gives us more fodder to have conversations and to engage people when there's chaos. That's fine. Can I digress for just a moment? Pitt and Wake Forest have combined to have exactly one win versus a ranked opponent. It was Pitt. It was Wake Forest. They not that they won, that they've even played.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to continue to kick a horse when it's down. Like
I think it's down.
Yeah,
I just noticed that. I was just looking at comparing the two schedules. I'm like, who have these people played? And when you look at all these other teams we're talking about, Cincinnati played Notre Dame, Oregon went to Ohio State. Oklahoma State has played ranked Baylor, ranked Oklahoma. Like, we've seen these other schools play people.
I just am not that obsessed by this for two reasons. One, they're not in the playoff hunt anymore, so their strength of schedule doesn't really bug me. Two, I think the whole who you played and when you play them, whether they're ranked, whether they're ranked now, I think it's all a moving goalpost. I think the worst thing to ever happen to conference championship games is the playoffs.
Is you.
No, it's playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs.
Because people have gotten to the point where if it's not nationally relevant, and when I say people, that is a generality. College football supremacists have gotten to the point where unless you are in the playoff hunt in this game, like if it was number 7 Cincinnati and they were one loss Cincinnati versus Houston, nobody would give a damn about that game.
That's true.
And I hate that. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be watching the crap out of App State, Louisiana. I think that's going to be a really great game.
Is Napier coaching the bowl game?
No, he's coaching this game.
The championship game. Okay, so he's going to coach this game. Okay, gotcha. I'm tripping. So let me also frame it this way, because this just hit me as well. If this were the same records from these two teams, and this was Louisville, bad example. If this were Florida State versus UNC, there would be people uptown crawling right now.
Mm-hmm. But see, that gets back to, I think this is...
But do you understand why I'm saying that?
No, I do. I guess my point is, I don't care about a buzz. I don't. Because that is about a bunch of people being excited about it. Listen,
that's kind of what entertainment
outside sports, of...
That's kind of what we do.
No, that's more about... That goes back to the idea of... The historical implication and historical brands. I don't care about that. Listen, two things that matter. Does the game have playoff implications? This one, it doesn't. Pitt versus Wake does not have those implications. That's fair to say. Is it going to be a good game? I've watched Clemson kick the holy crap out of everybody for 10 years.
And the stands were packed and the city was crazy every time.
Because Clemson's a national brand now and Clemson had something to play for. But I don't care about how many people are in the stands. This is about Nick Wilson, college football fan,
who
likes good, competitive games.
This is about Nick Wilson being selfish. What I'm talking about is what we in Charlotte, and maybe I'm sure there are some people that agree with me. I'm sure there are some that don't. I wish this game had more oomph. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not being disrespectful to the two programs by saying, hey, they're here. They earn their way here. That's fine. I wish it was more cachet.
I think that's just clout chasing. For 1 year, if this was every year, if this, quite frankly, if it's what the Pac-12 championship is, the Pac-12 championship every year is a disappointing two-loss team that should be undefeated and in the playoff hunt, almost always Oregon, and a disappointing three-loss team that probably is in over its skis. That's not the case with Utah this year, but they are a two-loss team versus a three-loss team. If this was every year, even though Oregon is a national brand, if this was every year, maybe I'd be more in on it. Like if this year it was Pitt versus Wake, and next year it was Louisville versus Virginia, or and the year after that it was I almost went Wake Forest again. I can't really go Virginia Tech. Good God, who else plays in this conference?
In the Duke.
Yeah, if it was Duke. Sorry, I was just thinking about Duke in this game. Duke versus Boston College. Guys, I'd be out. All right?
Like, so what's
no,
the difference?
I'm saying if this was every year, it was teams that don't historically matter. If it's teams that aren't, Clemson.
So you like the fact that this is an outlier year?
Yes. I think it's okay. I hear a promo once every 5 minutes on this station from KB saying this 1 year we can enjoy the outlier. I agree with KB. And by the way, I kind of dig the fact that OK State is in this. Oklahoma State's not been to the playoffs yet. I kind of love that Oklahoma State has a chance to make the playoffs this weekend. Like and put
Oklahoma
that
State has earned they've earned a right to be able to buy for a CFP spot.
704-570-9610. Who is on upset alert this weekend?
You are.
And hit us up on the text line, give us a call. But we are going to go out to one of our favorite neighborhoods in the Charlotte area. Not Ballantyne. Not Noda. It's Mr. Selania's neighborhood. Jim Selania, welcome back to the show, my guy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. There ain't nothing like Cotswold. Don't even compare Cotswold.
That's why I dropped it, Jimmy. I wasn't about to besmirch Cotswold.
Yeah, Wilson, Norfleet, and Fitty, my favorite broadcast team in the midday. Of all of them, you're the favorite ones, okay?
It hits differently when you say it.
You
like
personalize
that.
It so well, Jimmy.
So, it doesn't matter what time you're on, I'd be listening. You know, the one thing I did want to say was, you know, I sit out here and I'm painting circles in my driveway right now. It's driving me crazy. It makes me dizzy to look at it. Anyway, I was listening to your last guest, Mendenhall and Trey. And the one thing I learned from Trey is, you know, you take not with a grain of truth. He is no fan of Matt Rhule at all.
Yep.
He's definitely not the president of the fan club, is he?
Is it that, Jimmy, or could he just be telling the brutal, honest truth?
Well, yeah, he's telling the truth. He tried to be somewhat diplomatic about it, but he is no fan of Matt Rhule, and I think the whole city is starting to move in that direction. I tell you, I got a hell of a lot more hope for the Hornets right now than I do the Panthers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think Trey's, I thought that was really great. And I think that's something that, you know, I think it's important that we hear that from somebody who was in that locker room, because Trey has always been very fair to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. Like, Trey is very honest, but I've never heard Trey has always been, I mean, when we had Kyle Allen in town, I'm pretty sure Trey Boston knew what Kyle Allen was going to be early in his career, but he gave him a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what really hit home. This is a guy who was in that locker room, who's given Matt a chance, and I think he's where we are. And I think that added a lot of weight. I agree, Jimmy.
Yeah, I really do, because he's got to walk I don't know, not a guarded line, but he's got to be careful because he is a former Panther of renown. And it was very clear to me that he's no fan of Matt Rhule. And I got a feeling if you ran a vote right now with Panther fans, Matt probably wouldn't be winning it.
I think you are correct on that. Jimmy, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate you.
Okay, I love you guys.
All right, take care, Jimmy.
The good man, Jimmy Selania there. Great stuff with him. We are going to have to bring that Trey Boston stuff back. I thought Trey hit it out of the park about 40 minutes ago, but as we are talking about the ACC title matchup there, the question is, Do you care about this game? Nick Wilson approves this game. A Bygoma approved Wake Forest Pitt ACC title game. But we've got the final rendition of the Hack Song of the Week next on Sports Radio FNC.
I pulled into BOA where everybody hangs ahead. Rule needs to save ace while his team gets some rest. Hey, Tepa, can you tell me if we're gonna get some help ahead? He just smiled and shook his head, and no was all he said. Take a week off, Maddie. Take a week to think. Take a week off, Panthers. And beat the Falcons in week 14. IR is getting bad. We're looking for a back to ride. When we heard Cam Newton's back, really thought things would be all right. I said, hey, no, man. Why's the D been slowing down? He said that I don't know, 'cause now Jackson's also down. Take a week off, Panthers. Take a week to think. Take a week off losing. And beat the Falcons in week 14.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Final segment of the show. Big thanks to Braden Gall. Big thanks to Trey Boston. Big thanks to Stephen Ruiz for joining us on today's show. Great stuff with all three gentlemen. And again, if you guys missed what we had to say with Trey Boston, we're going to bring that back on Monday. But you just heard the fourth and final rendition of the Hack Song of the Week. Send in your grades right now, 704-570-9610. What grade would you give the Hack Song of the Week this week? To go ahead and bequeath our grades individually to this young man, we welcome on the resident songbird of Sports Radio FNZ, Hacksaw Helbig. Hacksaw, welcome back to the show, my guy.
Hey, how we doing, guys? We good today? We good?
We are good. Right. We are plenty good here.
Hello, Steven.
Uh-oh. He started with a Steven. Stan, go ahead and...
I'm doing fantastic, sir. It's 75 degrees, and I'm about to be off work in about 14 minutes.
Me too.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, one quick question. Why was there a need for a second verse? What was the motivation there?
I was telling a story, and maybe I got a little winded.
If you were winded, wouldn't that mean you would have stopped?
Well, you know me.
Hacksaw. There's just, when I look at you and I listen, there's just so much more you can give us. I don't think you really pushed yourself right here.
Just like the Panthers.
Yeah, correct. I think you settled. And like the Panthers, we're ready for the bye week in the third quarter.
Did he not respect the Panther or the Hack Song?
He did not respect the Panther. And like in the third quarter and second half of the game at Miami, you were ready for the weekend. I've got to get you a C-minus right here. You mailed it in on this one.
A lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I know that kind of took a turn there. I wasn't expecting for it.
We're settling for C-minuses now?
The first time
clearly
we heard
y'all
it.
Y'all didn't go to UVA.
Hacksaw, the first time we heard it, Stan and I had the exact same reaction, which is, there's more. And it was that second thing, because it really fell apart. If you stop it with just the first run-through, there's a lot there. Good lyrics, the song choice. Actually, your first harmonies were actually harmonious. There were actually you
debatable.
Did harmonies, friend.
Debatable.
You know, it was the second harmonies where it really fell apart. Timing, amount of the song, not great. The second run through, there's a little bit of Randy Newman there. When you go in, a little bit there.
Take a week off.
Now, that was funny. I'll give you something on that.
I like the song choice. I'm going to give you a C+. Not your best work, but right. I do like the song. I like some of what happened. Think shorter next time.
Okay. You know what? I got the best answer next week then. Cool.
All right, next week it's Snoop Dogg. I want to hear it. All right, buddy, take it easy.
You've had enough Snoop for a couple weeks.
Take Hacksaw, your hacks off. Be good there. No, I want to hear Hacksaw do Gin and Juice.
I would appreciate Hacksaw's attempt to knock down some gin, well, to do the song Gin and Juice.
Oh, Hacksaw will knock down some Gin and Juice. Don't you worry about that. Let's get to the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick before we get to the Bequeathal. My good friend Stan Norfleet, I'm going to choose to do the Nick Pick today on Pitt and Wake Forest, the ACC title game. The over-under is 71 points. I am staying all the way from that. I think it's going to surpass it, but trying to take the over on 71 points, there's a chance. I will give Pitt a chance to slow down that Wake Forest run defense or that run offense. If they do, this game will hit the under on that, so I don't feel comfortable there. However, all due respect, all you Pitt Panther fans, Yinzers are not going to like this pick. I'm going to lay the 3 points for Pitt, and I'm going to take Wake Forest outright. I'm locking it in. Wake Forest. All right, this has nothing to do with Big Deke Energy. This is about Nick, the football prognosticator, one of the best in town during this time slot on this station on any given day.
For now.
For today. I'm going to go ahead and take Wake Forest to win. I will take Wake in the 3 points.
Give me Pitt.
By gumma to you. All right, we move on to the Bequeathal. We've given you an hour of today's show. We've given you an hour to vote on the Jim Selania Gold Brick of the Week. Wow. Wow, most votes we've ever had today, 6,521. In last place, with about 552 votes.
Nick, you just made up a number.
No, it's 100%. You can't see the, I've got the Twitter analytics.
I can see it over here.
No, that's the votes that it tells you about. I've got the votes, I've got the Twitter analytics behind it. So, with 522 votes each, College and Pickett are in last place. In second place, with 2,197 votes, it is crying. That means with 3,413 votes, Energy Cycle. Here you go, Coach K. This one's for you.
It's like a cycle. It's like a cycle of energy, man.
Has he been hanging with Matt Rhule?
It's been a cycle of energy, and you see the cycle begins, and then cycles in the middle. It's like the sun. You ever seen this? No, you ever seen the moon? It's like a crescent, and it's like a little sliver.
He was one puff away from Hakuna Matata. Like I thought it was gonna come out at any given moment.
What's your cycle?
The hell is Coach K talking about? Coach K, you just got upset as the number one team in the country on the road versus an unranked Ohio State. You see, Stan, the energy cycle.
There is nothing
more.
What
are you talking about?
There is nothing more in this world than I want to enjoy than Coach K with the old puff puff pass. I just want to see how
make his back
trippy.
Feel better.
Well, this guy was around professional basketball players for a minute.
You like, know Coach K went to Woodstock.
No. He was in Army. He went to Army. He was the guy saying, I hope those squares get it. I hope those hippies get it.
If you don't think he let his hair down during those 70s.
What hair?
You're crazy.
It's always been the close and up.
He didn't have to beat us out the whole time.
No, he never had the Polish fro. He never had the Polish fro. I'm calling it right now.
Coach K, if you don't think Coach K has gotten it in, you're crazy.
Coach K has literally never hit the devil's lettuce.
Oh, no. I assure you he has. If nothing else, for medicinal purposes.
When?
It loosens up his back. Or it makes him think the back is loose.
He's the guy that's like, we should bring back the war on drugs. Like, that's who Coach K is, I think. There's no way that guy has rocked Maui Wowie.
Absolutely.
We could get J.R. Smith high as a kite here. And he could go up to Coach and offer him the most splendiferous blunt there is in all of bluntness. And Coach K would be like, my energy cycle's not right.
So are you telling me that Kyrie and Coach K they slip out the back from some great restaurant
never
in New
happened.
York. Coach K.
No.
Have I ever told you I loved you, man?
If you said, hey, coach, would you like this anti-inflammatory? If you want, hey, coach, would you like this barbiturate? Maybe.
You know what? That's where he got it from. Coach K got that energy cycle bleep. I'm blaming Kyrie. He was at the Barclays at some point. Him and Kyrie linked up for dinner, and Kyrie put that bleep on his head.
Well, we appreciate it. Our energy cycle has come to a close.
Don't worry.
We must. Is that your pot song?
Yeah.
I was going to coach and win this game.
No, I'm
and then
that.
I got high.
No.
Energy cycle.
You and the girls should watch Lion King this weekend.
After we listen to Snoop Dogg and Snoop Lion. With that.
See what you did there.
Itty bitty. Have a great weekend, buddy. Enjoy the ACC title juggernaut. Stan, bye Goma to you.
I'll be sending you text messages throughout that ball game.
I hope your energy cycle is better. KB's coming up next. Enjoy that show. We'll be back on Monday, guys. Enjoy the weekend off. Enjoy the bye week. Panthers can't lose, baby. Until Monday at 10 a.m., Nick for Stan and Itty Bitty Fitty saying stay safe and be good, Charlotte.
Are we done?
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See you later!
Charmed, I'm sure.
That's all, folks.
Okay, bye.